I locked the jailhouse door. I had a long night ahead, and a longer day tomorrow. I checked the shutters, checked the barred door, checked the gun rack, and all seemed to be as tight and ready as I could make the place. So there was nothing to do but wrap a blanket around me and sit in the swivel chair until dawn. I sat in the chair with a scatter gun on the desk beside me and waited for the seconds to come and go. I got itchy every little while and hiked around the office and then tried to settle back in my chair. The kerosene lamp burned away and the reservoir went down some. I wanted real bad to see the sky, see the stars that would be up there long after I left the world, but I didn't want to open them shutters. I didn't know what was out there. But the itch became so big in me that finally I decided to try it. I turned the lamp wick down until the flame blewed out, and it was dark as hell in there. I felt my way over to the window up front and opened the shutter a little, half expecting a pole or something to crash through the glass. But there was no one out there, and no one could see me looking out in that darkness. The stars were up there, cold chips of light that comforted me some. It was real quiet back in the jail. I closed and barred the shutter again and settled in my swivel chair and left the lamp unlit so it was pure dark in there. Just a minute. I tossed aside my blanket. I made my way through pitch dark to the door and felt around some for the bar. Who's there?
You know perfectly well who it is. Who else, huh?
I sure don't.
You're slow, all right, Sheriff. I keep telling you, smarten up.
You alone?
I wanted to bring that idiot with me, but he sobered up first and got out while I was still soaking in the sauce.
I eased the door slightly, knowing that in pitch darkness I wouldn't be much of a target.
Damn it, Sheriff, open that door!
I did, and he slipped in. I closed it behind him and dropped the bar once again.
What are you trying to do, save the county a nickel of lamp oil?
You just stand right there and I'll light up. I felt my way back to my desk, found a lucifer, and thought to hold it far from me just in case I was a target. I scratched it to life with my thumb. The flare was blinding. And there was Judge Nippers, looking the worse for wear, holding his flask of Kentucky and glaring at me.
That punk Carter Bell perjured himself. You got some paper and nib and ink?
I do.
That's good. Because I've got some court orders to write.
I rustled up some paper and a nib pen and ink pot and blotter and set them before the judge, who had settled his bulk in my swivel chair. He uncorked the ink and dipped his nib into the bottle.
Should have made it sooner. Trouble is, I soaked my gizzard more than usual and catnapped. The rascal decamped, though I'd intended to collar him. He was swizzled, and I didn't discourage it. He's a blabbermouth, and after a dozen little sips, which I'll charge the county for, he began to undo his perjury.
He studied the naked paper, his pen poised and ready. What are you writing?
I'll show you in a minute.
Print her out, then I'll get them letters right.
No, I'm going to scribble, and then I'll read it to you.
What you got going there, Your Honor?
Hush now, this taxes me. You can't stay up all night and write a bulletproof court order now, can you?
I figured I'd just have to wait. I slid a shutter open a little and saw that the new day was quickening, and soon there'd be full light to shine upon the day's slaughter. I sort of wished the light would never come and this here day wouldn't begin. It sure was quiet. Not a peep from back in the jail, either. Judge Nippers scribbled a little, and then paused.
That soak you sent my way was entertaining. After we'd shared a few shots, I asked him what happened over there at the last chance, and at first he just smiled some and allowed that it was just like his testimony in court. I eyed him and said, "Horse Pucky." He laughed and said that was rich. Horse Pucky was it, all right.
What was Horse Pucky?
The whole story! It took another dozen sips before the wretch began to spill any beans. But when they spilled, they scattered all over my floor.
There's another story?
You sure are slow, Pickens. I don't know what to do about you.
He paused, pen poised over the paper.
I don't quite know what to do yet, but I'll do something.
He reached for his flask. And took a long, deep suck on her.
I sure had to pump that little turd to get it out, but I got it out.
You mean Carter Bell?
He's the only little turd in town, Pickens. After we soaked his brain a little, he told me how it happened. Crayfish had it in for the three crooks he employed, he being a bigger crook and now having smaller ones nibbling at his ankles. There were the Jonas boys, dumb as stumps, but smart enough to slide out and turn the T-bar brand into the double plus by extending the T into a cross and turning the bar into a cross. Now, you'd think some crooks would be a little cautious about claiming a brand like a double cross, but these dopes thought it was clever. It didn't fool Crayfish for an instant. Rocco, the remaining deceased, was another sort of cat. Crayfish had some appetites that would have made Paul Bunyan look like a midget, and Rocco was hired to keep him supplied. But Rocco came out of Hell's Kitchen and saw ways to make money. So Crayfish thought it was time to ventilate Rocco along with the Jonas lads. Now here's the fun of it. Crayfish amused himself with the idea of pinning the whole thing on the son of his rival, King Bragg, who had a nasty habit of strutting down Wyoming Street with a custom-made revolver looking for someone to kill. Well, my friend, it was easy to set up. Carter Bell had no notion he'd be a witness. He was simply told to wait in the last chance. That crappy bartender, Sammy Upward, was recruited to dose some red eye he would serve the kid. After that, Plug Parsons wandered next door now and then looking for King Bragg to come in, as he usually did, and simply invited him over. It was easy. Bragg showed up, landed on his face, Crayfish pulled the kid's colt, executed the three on his list, and stuffed the gun back in the kid's possession where it remained until the kid awakened. That was the afternoon's entertainment.
The boy's innocent?
Now, I'm not saying that, Pickens. I'm saying that we've got to have another trial, and Bell's going to cough up.
He's not going to say one word in court against his boss.
Well, then I suppose the kid'll hang. Won't be the first time an innocent man got hung.
What are you going to do?
I'll stay the hanging until there can be a new trial.
And why not just let him go?
And deprived doubtful of a good hanging? Not on your life, Pickens. That's what I get for burning the midnight oil.
His head slumped forward and his body relaxed. Your Honor, get that thing rid up. He sunk deeper into my chair. Wake up. Ride it up.
Oh, I will. Just give me a moment here.
Your Honor, you have to do it right now. Now! Nippers just smiled, eyes closed, and wobbled in his chair. I'll help you up. We'll walk some. I headed for the chair. I tried to lift his massive bulk, but he sort of swatted me away.
Oh, five minutes, boy, 5 minutes.
Just finish it up. Ride it up. But he pitched forward and splayed himself over my desk. I guess I never did get myself into such a pickle. There wasn't 4 hours until I had to take the Bragg boy out there to Courthouse Square and do what had to be done. I wrestled the half-done paper out from under the judge. It was dated all right, and it said, far as I could tell from that curvy script, that the execution of King Bragg would be stayed for 1 week until... And that's where it quit, and it wasn't signed, and wasn't worth beans without him signing it. I eyed that flask and slid it away from him just in case he woke up and got a new thirst to put himself back to snoring again. I paced around and discovered the blue speckled coffee pot. It hadn't been washed in a while, maybe 2 weeks, but I set to work on her and scraped all that brown coating off. I'd have to build a little fire in the stove to heat it up, and it was gonna be a warm day. Maybe I could just go over to the diner and get me a cup and bring it over for the judge. I'd hold it up and pour it down his gullet. I ached to go back there to that cell and tell the boy that he lived to see another sunrise, but I couldn't do that. I couldn't say stuff like that and then break his heart if the judge decided to let the hanging go ahead. It sure was quiet back there. I wondered if them Braggs heard any of it. They might have. But I didn't have anything to tell them. I peered out the door and wondered where Bertel and DeGraff and Rusty were. They should have been in by now. I didn't see a soul out there, even with the sun up and the day stirring. If one of them would show up, I'd send him over for some coffee and get the judge honked up a little so he could finish up that paper. I went in and shook the judge on the shoulder.
What?
And he just wobbled like a dead dog and flopped like a twice-caught fish. So I thought I'd give him another five, and then it would be all right. And he would finish up that document, and I would halt everything, and maybe I could free the boy. I wasn't inclined to let his paw get out. Not until 11, just like I said. But the boy, he could vamoose. So another five rolled around, and I tried to wake up Judge Nippers. It was getting bright out there, with the sun up and the early light slanting across Wyoming Street, so some buildings were lit and the others were casting shadows. I was getting real ornery about my deputies. Where was Rusty? Where was DeGraff and Bertel? Maybe they wasn't men enough to face this day. I began going from window to window, opening the shutter for a look, and finding nothing but a real empty street and alley out there. Then it was 8 in the morning, and pretty quick it was 8:30. And still them lazy no-good deputies of mine hadn't showed their faces. The bunch collecting down the street a ways looked to be armed to the gills, in spite of my ban on weapons this day. I could only wait and see which outfit was defying me. And it didn't take long. That bunch was T-Bar, and they were strolling straight toward the county sheriff's office and jail, and they were staying apart some, not bunched up like a battle line, and I knew straight off there would be more trouble than I ever faced in my life. Sure enough, there was Crayfish. Plug Parsons was leading that parade, looking like a bull, and sure enough, there was Carter Bell in there, wearing his fancy artillery, and I sure wasn't seeing no deputy of mine. And it was dawning on me that I wouldn't, because this outfit had collected them and held them somewheres. That was bad news, too. It meant they was going to do what they were itching to do all the time they camped in Doubtful. I had to make some decisions real fast. I shook the judge. Until he finally rattled awake and sat staring at me silently. Write that thing. He collected himself a moment and nodded. His hands shivered and shook like one of them belly dancers, but he set to work and made them wobbly letters and words while I watched real sharp. Then he eyed me, dipped the nib into the well, and signed the thing. He handed it to me. They're coming.
Who?
Crayfish and his bunch. They're armed. They got my deputies off somewhere, so I'm holding the fort.
I'll talk to them.
In your hands is a legal stay of execution pending a review.
The boy ain't free to go?
Well, he might be. But I'm gonna see whether Carter Bell sober says the same thing as Carter Bell lit up. Maybe later today. In vino veritas isn't a legal doctrine.
I sure didn't know what the old goat was talking about, but it didn't matter. In a moment, King Bragg's life would change. I tucked the stay of execution into my pocket. It felt light as air. It made me feel real light, like a ton of hemp rope was lifted off my shoulders. I'd tell that boy that he was off the hook. It'd all work out. Nipper sure wasn't gonna let the kid hang now.
Open up, Sheriff. Open up and you won't get hurt. We got some business to do.
You stand back over there. I'm gonna open that door, and there might be some lead flying through.
You'd open up to them?
I don't know what they want. They're armed and violating my order. No guns in Doubtful this day. And if they're up to no good, I've got to put a stop to it.
It's dangerous.
I nodded. A man wearing the badge has to put himself in harm's way now and then. I waited until he shuffled off to one side, over near the jail door, and then I lifted the bar and opened up. They didn't have any weapons pointed at me, at least for the moment. But there was plenty of fingers hovering over holsters and itchy eyes. There must have been 15, 20 of them, all T-Bar men. And Plug Parsons was leading the pack and standing in front. Crayfish was there, but at the rear, like he wanted to be as safe as he could get. I saw Carter Bell back there some, but most of those fellers were simply T-bar riders and gun slicks. I thought maybe I knew what they had in mind, which was an early hanging just to make sure it got done, before crowds around the gallows might change things. I looked the lot over, but it was Plug Parsons who caught my eye. He was standing there solid as a bull, wide as a beer barrel, and smug as a bridegroom.
Where is he? We're gonna push this necktie party ahead just so nothing much goes wrong today. The law won't mind.
There'll be no hanging today. I got a stay of execution right here, signed by Judge Nippers. You fellas go on out to your ranch and call it a day.
A stay? What are you talking about?
There'll be no execution. There's new evidence the boy didn't do it, and that's what the judge is gonna be looking at. Now go home. You're all violating my order. No guns in doubtful today. So get out before I get a little pissed off.
What evidence?
That's for the judge to look over. But there's a witness sprung up. Carter Bell looked pretty solemn, but he wasn't shaking in his boots, neither. Still, Crayfish had three lying witnesses. Parsons, Bell, and my friend Sammy Upward, the sneaking bastard that slid them knockout drops into the boys' booze. I looked for him in that mob, but he wasn't there. This was all T-bar men. Things seemed to teeter like that for a moment, and I thought maybe they'd pull out. But then Axel Nippers himself showed up beside me, trying to control the shakes from a hard night of sipping.
Here now, you quit this place! There'll be no hanging on this day! I've heard new evidence, and I've issued a court order. I'm holding a hearing in my chambers in 1 hour, and I want every witness who testified at the trial there. That includes Parsons there, and Bell there, and you fetch Upward, too. I'll expect you there, and I'm gonna be asking some questions, and you'd better be giving me the right answers, or you'll be facing the music.
What questions?
You won't be there. You'll just wait and see. You're gonna deliver Mr. Parsons, Mr. Bell, and Mr. Upward, and then you can wait for the verdict.
I asked what questions.
And I told you!
It seems that justice won't be done this day unless we do it.
Nippers pushed pugnaciously into that crowd.
You'll have your justice. You'll have it every which way. And those who are guilty will hang, and those who lied will spend a long time thinking about their crimes. And this mob is gonna disperse right now! You heard the sheriff. No guns! I'll throw every last skinny-ass cowboy into the slammer if you don't get yourself out of town right now!
You won't hang, King Bragg?
I'll hang the man who murdered those three men. And you can count on it, Mr. Ruble.
And who would that be?
You'll know when the time comes.
I guess we'll have a couple of hangings today.
He nodded at Plug, who manhandled the judge.
You take your fat paws off me or face the music!
I got my revolver in hand real quick and aimed it at Parsons. Let him go!
You piece of pig manure, get your hands off me!
Parsons and the judge was wrestling some, but the beefy foreman sure had the upper hand. He swung the judge around between my Colt and himself. And putting a bullet in him and not in the judge would have been like shooting two dogs in heat. So I hunted out Crayfish, but he was already racing toward the gallows and out of range. I fired in the air. That didn't slow anyone down. I waded in, but there was a mess of T-bar riders blocking the way, and I sure enough got into a brawl with three or four. They were piling on me from all sides. One knocked my revolver into the clay. I slugged back and kneed one of the boys in his basket, and he doubled up. But every time I got ahead, two more came at me. I could feel my blood up, pounding in my head, and I gave more than I took, because I use all of me in a fight, including my thick skull. But I was plain outnumbered. In a bit, they had me down. And they was kicking my ribs real hard.
Hey, come on!
They quit me and was hell-bent to get to the gallows on the courthouse square. I tried to get up. There was something tore up in there. I crawled to my feet and hunted around for my revolver, but it wasn't there. Someone had took it. I got to standing and stared at the open door of the sheriff's office, wondering how many of them T-bar men was in there and what they were doing to my prisoners. I could hardly stand, but I raced back to the office and up the steps and entered. There wasn't a soul in there, and the jail door was locked tight. So I grabbed a double-barrel scatter gun and limped out, closing that office door behind me, wishing a few deputies would show up now that a shot or two had been fired, but I knew they wouldn't because they were prisoners somewhere. Up ahead a block, that mob was propelling the judge straight toward the gallows. There was a few town people running for cover, and a few more who had come to see the show. I trotted along, feeling pain in my ribs and a lot of other places. I had two loads, and that was it. But they were double-aught buckshot, and that always gets some respect. They seen me coming, and one tried a pot shot. He was most of a block away. This was shaping up into a real bad mess. I followed along, but now Crayfish himself was turning some of them boys my way, and they was popping their six guns at me, and they was gonna hit me pretty quick.
Don't listen to him, boys! String him up, the old coot! Boss us around, will you old fart? Go on, boys. Try the necktie on him. We'll have a hanging one way or another. Try bossing us around when you're dancing on air, you old windbag.
The rest, led by Plug Parsons, was manhandling that judge forward, dragging him when he quit walking. They sure was going to hang the judge, unless I could stop him. And Crayfish was urging him on. Kill the judge before the judge got any more curious about what happened that afternoon in the Last Chance Saloon. I could see I was losing out. They'd reached the gallows and were hoisting nippers up them steps. Now there was two or three of them cowboys who just plain halted to shoot at me. I veered toward the doorway of Maxwell Funeral Parlor and got in the entryway, where I was safe for a moment. But a couple of bullets splattered wood right where I'd been a moment before. I was trapped. They had me pinned. I crouched low and sneaked a peek or two around that corner, only to see what I sure didn't want to see and could hardly stand seeing. They were shoving the judge up and pushing him toward the trap, while some Ranny was tying the judge's hands behind him with a borrowed belt. Down below, Crayfish was quietly pointing a few of his Rannies into a perimeter, their six guns pointed at the spectators. He didn't want no town folk messing up the death of the judge. Up on that gallows, Plug Parsons was calm as could be, lowering the noose over Axel Nipper's old neck and tightening it some. Down below, a couple of them cowboys was keeping an eye on the doorway where I was crouched. Plug Parsons swung that lever.
You baboons! Oh!
The judge dropped hard and fast. He shuddered once and then went limp. The thing was, the whole place went quiet. Even the wind quit. After all that ruckus, there was no noise. No movement, except for the swinging body up there, and no talk. Them T-bar men just stared at the judge. Even Crayfish just stared. I wondered what was going through their heads. Every last one of them was engaged in murdering a district judge of the territory. A judge who knew something, and who had stopped an execution, only to trigger his own. He just swayed up there, limp and twisting slowly. The spectators didn't move neither. It was too much to absorb, so they just stared. There was no law in Doubtful. There was no justice, no decency, no safety. I was mad at myself because I couldn't get in there and make it quit. But I didn't, and now it was too late, and I was still pinned in that entryway, and the sheriff's office and jailhouse stood unguarded. I edged out, heading toward my office. I had other lives in my care.
Hey!
A couple of pistol shots sailed by, but nothing came close, so I just kept on going, my hurt ribs pretty near torturing me, along with a mess of bruises. But I was gonna get back there and defend that boy with my life if it came to that. I made it back all right. The T-bar men didn't try to catch up. They probably thought they could tear the place apart anytime they chose. There wasn't a soul in my office, and the jail door was still locked. I closed and barred the front door, laid out some scatter guns on my desk, and a box of shells. Then I drank a tumbler of water since I was parched. There was blood on my shirt and arms, but I didn't know whether it was mine or someone else's. I thought maybe I had a few moments, so I unlocked the jail door and headed in there. It was real quiet. Old man Bragg stared at me. The boy was simply lying on his iron cot and waiting for the end. The sadness was so thick, I could feel it chill my heart. I unlocked the cell door and swung it wide. The kid glanced at me and lay quiet. I didn't know what time it was. It might seem like 11 to him.
King, it's not gonna happen. You're free to go.
He stared at me.
You're free, boy. No noose.
Don't try to make it easy for me.
He didn't get the message. I dug around in my shirt. The stay was folded in there, so I pulled it out. It was bent some from all that fighting.
Read.
He eyed it, and the paper dropped to the floor. I picked it up and shoved it at him. He took it and read.
It's just some legal stuff.
Get up, get washed. I need you. We're in trouble. You'll need to defend yourself, maybe. He stared at me like I was nuts. Now his father, Admiral Bragg, was up and rattling the cage.
What's this?
I'll tell you later.
Let me out, damn you!
The kid was dazed. I pretty near shoved him out of the jail and locked up behind him.
You're free. Judge Nippers heard some evidence of what really happened. You were knocked out with some stuff, and Crayfish borrowed your gun. There's a lot more, but we got trouble. You can vamoose if you want, and if them T-bar men don't kill you, they're coming. You're free, but I need you.
He still stared at me.
Take this scattergun, boy. You may need it.
He hesitantly lifted the shotgun, wondering whether I'd shoot him, I guess, and stood there in the middle of the office, freed but not knowing it, and neither of us knew what would come through that door.
King, we're going to get out of here, you hear? I'll unlock your paw. I'm going out with my scattergun, and I'm turning left and heading straight for the courthouse. After a moment, you and your paw slip out and turn right and get out of sight fast. You're on your own. Try to hook up with your sister and your Anchor Ranch men. That's all I can do.
King was still trying to get all this straight. Minutes before, he was waiting to be hanged. But he nodded. I plunged back into the jail and unlocked his paw.
Get out of here. King will tell you where to go.
Are you giving me orders? You haven't even fed me. I'll hang you from the nearest street lamp.
Move. If you want to live, move.
What's all this?
Judge Nippers is dead. He stayed the execution and got hanged for it. Now move.
Dead? Well, he deserved it, sentencing my boy to be hanged.
That did it. I pushed him back into the cell. He tumbled onto his bunk while I slammed the door shut and locked it.
You're leaving me to that mob?
Not if I can help it.
I locked the jail door, thinking maybe that would slow down the T-bar mob, and I picked up a few buckshot cartridges, enough to fire until my trigger finger went dead.
You ready, boy?
What about my father?
He wants his breakfast.
But...
Do what I say. I'm gonna slow that mob. You go the other way. Find your sister and get out of town.
Thank you.
Thank Judge Nippers.
If there's any way we can help you...
Not now. Later.
We were out of time. I raced to the front door, opened it a bit, and saw the T-bar men still staring at that limp, twirling body up on the gallows. I nodded to the kid and stepped out, leaving the door wide. It would shield the boy if he was smart enough to jump off the steps and skirt the building. I moved slowly off that boardwalk and turned left, just as I said I would, and started straight toward that mob on the courthouse square, my shotgun cradled under my arm. Behind me, the boy slid out, made a soft drop to the grass, and then he was crawling back along the wall. Good, he figured it out. Now that bunch out there on the square saw me, walking slow, in no hurry because I wanted the kid to move his butt far away. I was going to do what I had to do, which don't mean I wasn't scared. I'd end up a piece of Swiss cheese, or maybe they'd pull the noose free of Judge Nippers and fit it to my scrawny neck, but I didn't have time to worry about that. The square was empty, except for all them T-bar men, who were mostly watching Nippers dangle and twirl. Everyone else had fled. It felt sort of funny walking right into that bunch, but I kept on, one foot at a time, that side-by-side shotgun ready. They saw me coming. Crayfish was staring, and so was Plug Parsons, and so was Carter Bell. They stayed bunched up, not spreading out in a skirmish line, just staying tight around those gallows, with that body dangling there real quiet. It was odd. I was all alone in the world.
but there were people everywhere, watching from every window and doorway, ready to duck when lead started to fly. I wished my deputies would show up, but they'd been taken hostage, or they'd be here at my side. I glanced at the hotel and thought I saw Queen in a shadow there. Then she moved, but I was still walking and getting close to revolver range now, but still too far for a short-barreled shotgun. I just kept walking. There wasn't anything else to do but walk. Now they was all staring at me, and a few had their paws sort of hovering over their six guns. I was real interested in Crayfish, who simply stared, not moving a muscle. He didn't give me a clue. He stood like a statue on the outer edge of that bunch, his hands at his sides. I thought maybe the T-bar would wait for him to make the call. So I slid my barrels a little his way. You don't have to aim a shotgun full of buckshot. All you got to do is point. I just kept on walking, and nothing much happened. I was getting into range. Any one of them riders could pop one at me if he was real careful about where he aimed. But it wasn't happening. They'd just hanged the judge. And now the law was coming at them one step at a time, and the law wasn't slowing down. The other feller who was real important to me was Plug Parsons, standing there like a snorty bull. His hand still on that lever he used to spring the trap and send Judge Nippers to eternity. But Parsons wasn't edgy like the rest. He was the calmest in the lot, just watching peaceful like this was a Sunday morning and the church bells had rung. He was armed, like all the rest, but he didn't bother to lower his paws so he could grab iron if he needed to. He just watched and waited and was ready to back up Crayfish's play. It got real quiet, but I just kept on walking. It all happened so fast, I couldn't sort it out. A bunch quit the pack and began trotting down Wyoming Street. Not quite running like some yellow dogs, but just pulling out of the contest. Then a few more followed, looking back over their shoulders at me. Then the rest quit the gallows, this time in a trot, because I could spray a lot of buckshot into them now. And then Crayfish himself took off hard, almost loping out of range, and wanting some distance between my buckshot and his flesh. I watched the whole bunch flee, except for Plug Parsons, him who slid the noose around Judge Nippers and then pulled the lever. He just stood there, sort of smiling, half protected by the gallows, but some of him showing. I just kept on walking. You want to come with me to the jail, Plug? It was funny how he smiled and said nothing and just stood there. I guess I gotta collar you, Plug, hanging a judge. Parsons had shaded a little behind the gallows to give himself some protection, so I just worked sideways myself. And when Plug saw how it would go, he simply pulled at his revolver. I shot him. He took about half of them buckshot in the chest and head and toppled like a big old tree. There was a little powder smoke drifting in the breeze, and it was real quiet. I reloaded and watched them T-bar men head for the last chance. I feared for my deputies. I didn't know where they'd been hid or who was guarding them, but I was having a bad moment. There wasn't nothing to do but climb that stair to the gallows platform. I tried to pull the noose loose, but them things are designed to go one way, tighter, and I couldn't. I dug around in my britches and found my jackknife, and pretty soon sawed through the rope and stretched the judge out onto the platform, and then I cut the noose loose. He stared up at me like he was expecting something. I got one, and I'll get the rest. That's a promise. I saw Maxwell hovering at his door, looking for business, so I waved at him. He leapt into action and began hauling an ebony two-wheel cart out to the gallows to fetch the judge. He had a small sign screwed onto the side that said, "See Maxwell's for a divine passage." I waited, and pretty quick Maxwell pulled up. I lifted the judge, who weighed a lot, and carried him down the steps and laid him in the car.
You treat him good. You treat him better than you ever treated anyone in your life.
Certainly, certainly. That's my business. I always treat everyone best.
I got to thinking about that, but it still didn't make any sense. He took off with the judge, and I recovered my shotgun and watched him wheel that cart across the courthouse square and into his alley door. I peered around, wondering why I'd let myself stand around, but if there was someone on the square, I sure didn't see him. It was like I was the only one on Earth left alive. I didn't see a soul, but I thought a few hundred eyes was watching. I headed back to the office, thinking I owed old man Bragg a breakfast, even if I didn't care whether he ate for the next week or two. When I got back to the office, there was King and Queen in there, both armed to the teeth. Queen rushed up to me.
Oh.
And danged if she didn't wrap her arms around me. I don't mind being hugged, but not by a woman with a six gun at her hip. Pretty quick, her tears were dampening my shirt, and she clung to me like I had done something real fine.
I got things to do.
She let go.
Oh.
And brushed back her tears.
I guess you two need to hear the story, but first I gotta feed your pa. He's gonna be in there hollering for his breakfast soon.
Oh, let him holler. Just tell us what happened.
There hadn't been time to tell King Bragg when I let him out. Just that the judge had signed a stay of execution. So I told them the whole shebang about the judge and his drinking buddy, Carter Bell, who got himself swizzled enough to spill a few beans about how Crayfish had set it up. They listened quietly.
Now, I got a few things to do. I gotta find my deputies. I gotta arrest Crayfish for murder. I gotta arrest Sammy Upward for putting them knockout drops into your red eye and being part of it and lying about it. I gotta nab Carter Bell for lying on the witness stand and being a part of it. I gotta open up them graves you showed me, Queen, and maybe charge Crayfish with some more murders. I gotta shut down Crayfish for good before he starts worse trouble.
Carter Bell went to see Judge Nippers?
I took him over there. Told him the judge was a good man to drink with.
You took him there?
Yep. He was acting sort of squirrely, like he wanted to brag some, only he didn't want to brag to the sheriff.
And that's why the judge stopped the hanging?
Temporarily. He said he needed a sober confession before he'd call it off for good.
Am I still in trouble?
I gotta let them lawyers figure it out.
They absorbed that bleakly. I didn't want that skunk, Admiral Bragg, stinking up my jail, so I let him out. I hardly got the cell door open, but he glared at me in a rage.
I'll have you strung up in a week, abusing prisoners.
I ignored him. He stomped into the office where King and Queen were waiting for him.
How come he's out? How come he's not hanging?
Because one of the lying witnesses squealed. Crayfish did the shooting and tried to pin it on King.
What took you so long? How come you haven't shot the whole lot?
Get your ass out of here.
You're in trouble with me, Pickens. You'll be out of the county in a week.
Father, shut up.
Where are my weapons? I want my Derringer.
Come back in a month and I'll give it to you.
You expect me to go out there unarmed?
Our men are waiting behind the hotel. They're ready to ride. There are horses for you and King and me. Come along, Father.
You telling me what to do, girl?
Yes.
Come on, let's get out of here.
You telling me what to do, boy?
Don't come then. Stay here.
Get out right now or I'll lock you up.
I strung you up once, Pickens, and next time it'll be for real.
I didn't have nothing more to say to the turkey, so I just stood there. The Bragg girl and boy finally hustled Admiral out the door. I wondered whether he'd soon be bossing those two children of his around again, but it didn't look like it. They'd growed up overnight. They headed straight for the hotel, which was wise. I was glad to see King outside the jailhouse, alive and free. There sure would be some explaining to do when the mayor and all them people caught up with me, but I had Judge Nipper's document in my pocket, and that's all that mattered. I locked up and slid out the door. I had missing deputies to hunt for. Over on the square, a rope hung from the gallows with no noose on it. I could see Plug Parsons lying near there. I hardly knew where to go first, but the Last Chance Saloon seemed likely. There were people peering from windows. I could see that, but there wasn't even a dog sniffing along the street. I carried my shotgun cradled on my arm, but I didn't see any sign of trouble. It looked like everyone in Doubtful was scared and hiding. I got to Saloon Row and came to the sampling room first, but Mrs. Gladstone had locked the door. There wasn't any Anchor Ranch men in there. So I headed for the Last Chance. The double doors were shut tight. I wondered what might be on the other side. Maybe the whole T-Bar outfit. ready to blow away anyone come through there. But I didn't see no horses at the hitch rails. When an outfit's in town, you see the horses. But there wasn't no horses around Wyoming Street on this hangman's morning. I rattled the doors, but nothing happened. I booted the door a couple of times, but no one opened. I trotted down a space between the two saloons and tried the alley door, but it was shut tight. So I reared back and cut loose. Smacked it open with my shoulder and ducked to the right, expecting some flying lead. But none came at me, and I raced into that dark, stinking place where men had died and swung my muzzles around, but there wasn't anyone to shoot. I could have sworn someone was in there, but I didn't see no one. I shoved the back room door open. There wasn't any light back there, but enough come through the door so I could see bodies on the floor. One of them was twisting around some, so I dragged him by the feet and into the light, and it was Rusty. I pulled the gag off his mouth and cut him loose of all that cord they'd wrapped around him.
What? Ah! Knocked us cold.
Knockout drops.
Uh-huh. You hang the boy yet?
I let him go. Judge Nippers...
Let him go? I'll be damned.
Rusty, the brag boy's innocent. The judge turned him loose. Crayfish is the guilty party, just like we figured. So they hang the judge.
Say that again?
Look, you help these fellas get themselves awake and then get out of here. Go on down to the jail and fort up. I got a job to do.
I don't get it.
You'll get the whole story soon enough. I got some business to do. But first, tell me how you got here.
T-bar men pulled us out of bed, hauled us over here, every gun pointing our way. Upward pushed some tumblers of whiskey in front of us and told us to drink up. That's the last I knew.
It's that stuff Upward's been using. You get back to the jail and be real careful.
Rusty was still pretty dazed looking, but he nodded. I hated to leave him in there unarmed, so I poked around and found Sammy's shotgun under his bar. I didn't see any blue bottles this time, but Sammy had a stash of that stuff somewhere. I took the shotgun back to Rusty and gave it to him. He was pretty groggy, and maybe it wasn't the smartest move.
This here's some protection. It's Sammy's.
It'll serve. I couldn't hit a barn with a revolver.
Well, I got work to do.
Out in the street, there wasn't no one stirring. I wanted three men. Sammy Upward, Carter Bell, and Crayfish Ruble. Him most of all. They might still be in Doubtful. There wasn't any reason for them to get out, what with all the deputies knocked flat and me alone. I tried to figure what Crayfish knew. He knew that Judge Nippers had stopped the execution, but he didn't know why. Or maybe he did. If he knew someone had sung a song or two, it would have to be one of three people, Sammy, Plug Parsons, or Carter Bell, them that testified in the trial that King Bragg had shot and killed them T-bar men. Plug was lying in the dirt at the gallows and wouldn't be singing any songs. I was pretty slow to come to it, but when I did, it hit me hard. If them other two witnesses got killed, Crayfish would be home free. There'd be no one around to point the finger at him. There'd be no reason to worry about anything. I had to find them two, Sammy and Carter, and get them out of harm's way. I started toward Red Light Row, and sure enough, there were all them T-bar horses tied to the hitch rails. At first, I thought to storm into Rosie's place, but that might not be so bright, especially if they was all in there waiting for me to walk through the door. I thought maybe to see what I could find at Big Lulu's house first. I eyed the windows at Rosie's and saw a few faces duck away, so I knew I was being watched real hard. There wasn't going to be any surprises, and I wasn't going to collar Crayfish unannounced. I sure wished I had some deputies handy, but that bunch was so hung over it'd be a week before they'd be back on their feet. Lulu's then. I eyed the windows. It was midday, not a time for much business in that trade, and most of the ladies were snoring away in there. I pushed the door open and slid to one side. No shots met me. I got in there and took a hard look at the parlor and all the horsehair furniture with the doilies pinned on it. It sure was quiet. I was about to ring that bell they keep when a customer wants service, when Lulu herself showed up in her gray wrapper with the purple petunias on it. You got any T-bar men in here?
Why, Sheriff, I wouldn't think of violating the privacy of my patrons.
You got T-bar men. You tell me right now or I'll shut you down real quick.
We might have one or two.
Where are they?
They are pleasuring their temporary wives, Sheriff.
Who are they?
I couldn't possibly. Well, you must be discreet.
If you don't tell me real quick, I'm gonna start opening doors here and having a look-see.
Oh, sir, don't do that. We don't want to violate the sacrament.
Sacrament?
Why, their sacramental union. It's sacred. It is a private matter between a man and a woman.
Well, if you don't tell me who and where, I'm gonna start looking in on a lot of them sacraments.
Surely, Mr. Pickens, you wouldn't do anything so distasteful.
I sure would. You can distaste me all you want, but I'm about to go hunting if you don't steer me fast.
Mr. Upward is in room 7 with Mrs. Cardwell, and Mr. Bell is in room 5 with Mrs. Boyd.
Mrs. who? How come they're married?
We offer experience, Sheriff. What can an inexperienced temporary wife offer? A perfect sacrament requires deep experience, and then the result is sacred. So all my ladies have been married, or may say they have.
All right, I'm gonna bust in on them. I want both of them fellers, and if I can catch them with their pants off, all the better. I headed down the hallway while she stared at me and plucked at her purple petunias. Room 7 was silent. I pressed my ear to the door and heard nothing at all. I tried the doorknob, and it opened the door, and no lead blew past me. So I looked in there. There was no girl in sight. Sammy Upward lay on his back, staring open-eyed at the ceiling. He was wearing all his clothes, including his boots. I slapped him once or twice, but he wasn't moving, and his lungs weren't working, and I figured out that Sammy was history, and he'd been dosed to death with that knockout juice. Just to make sure, I looked for any bullet holes and blood, but there were none. There wasn't a mark on him. Poor old Sammy had bought the farm this time. So long, Sammy. You can pour me one in hell. I was pretty sure Carter Bell would be in the same boat. But first I went back to that parlor and got a hold of Big Lulu. He's croaked. How'd he get put in there? You tell me fast and true.
Oh, sir. Mr. Rubel brought him in. Mr. Upward and Mr. Bell, and said he wanted 2 private rooms for them to sleep off a drunk, and they shouldn't be disturbed, and for me to say they were enjoying the company of my temporary wives.
How long ago?
Just a little while ago, sir.
Were Upward and Bell on their feet?
Oh, yes, sir. They were joking with Mr. Rubel. It was all very jolly. He told them it was time to celebrate, and he'd foot the bill.
Where's Rubel?
I wouldn't know, sir. He left here a little later, in a very good mood.
Did he say anything?
Yes, he said, let them sleep. They need rest. And he said if they wanted one of my wives after they woke up, I should provide one.
Did he pay you?
I always expect a gratuity, Sheriff. I'm in the temporary marriage business.
I headed down the hall to room 5, found the knob, and pushed in real quick. There was Carter Bell, face up, eyes closed, fully clad, and dead as a mackerel. I shook him a few times. I slapped his rat face a few times. I found a hand mirror on the dresser and held it to his nostrils and found no moisture on it. I felt his hand, which was still warm, but not like he was alive. There was a half-filled tumbler of booze on the dresser. I knew what was in that booze, and I knew who poured it into Bell and Upward. Just to make sure, I checked him for bullet wounds. There were none. No blood, no cuts or bruises, nothing busted. He sure looked natty, clean-shaven, dressed real nice. Look at what you bought when you got to telling the judge a few things, Carter. A dose of that stuff, chlorohydrate. That's what crayfish served up for you. Guess you'll be visiting the devil. I got out of there. I'd collect the bodies later. I knew that Crayfish Rubel was scot-free. All of them witnesses that testified that King Bragg shot them T-bar men were dead. There wasn't nobody left to take back the court testimony. And not only was Rubel free, but King Bragg was still in trouble. And once they got some new judge in here, the boy might still be hanged for a crime he didn't do. It wasn't any trouble finding Crayfish. He was in Rosie's parlor, running his paws over all them smiley girls and having himself a fine time. There wasn't anything to run from, so he was back there with the ladies once again, while Rosie was watching over the parlor so things didn't get too rowdy. I had simply wandered in there, ready to swing my shotgun into action, but no one seemed to care any.
You came just in time for the party, Sheriff.
I gotta take you in for questioning, Mr. Rubel.
For what?
We're gonna talk about a lot of stuff.
Oh, the hanging. I tried to stop it. Judge Nippers was a friend, you know, but my boys didn't much like it when he stopped the hanging, and they got a little frisky.
Well, we're gonna talk about that some more.
I'm not inclined to go. You can see I'm busy with important things. Try me tomorrow morning, early. We're heading back to the tea bar around noon. Any early and the boys would be fighting hangovers.
I'll send him over when he's done here. Now, don't you go cheating me out of a sale.
Your sale's gonna wait, ma'am. You coming, or do I get serious? I moved the shotgun muzzle a notch or two, and it didn't escape him.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
I followed him out the door and into a fine June day. Doubtful was stirring a little. Them merchants was finally opening up. People had figured out there wasn't going to be no hanging this day. At least not of the Bragg boy. Rubel tried to walk beside me, but I motioned him to stay in front of me.
It's a pity losing that judge. Now that kid's loose and who knows who he'll kill next.
We're going to have some real serious talk about that. Truth was, I didn't have much to go on. All three witnesses dead, and I had no real good proof he killed the other two. No real proof of anything. But we were gonna have us a long talk anyway, him on one side of the bars, me on the other. A few merchants were at their doors, including Mayor Waller.
Is the judge dead?
Yes, you'll get the story soon as I'm ready. We reached the courthouse square, and something was sure different. Then I knew. There was a new noose on that gallows. I'd cut off the rope to get Judge Nippers down, and now there was a big noose dangling there. And a mess of Anchor Ranch men swarming toward me from all sides, including behind. I spotted Big Nose George and Alvin Ream and Spittin' Sam. Sure enough, there was Admiral Bragg hovering back away. But I didn't see King or Queen around. And behind me was Smiley Thistlethwaite. I didn't see any of my deputies, and doubted I would. They was all too far gone to do much. Crayfish, you keep on walking straight to my office. Don't slow down, not even if they say stop. I'll be right behind you. We're walking to the jail, and that's the safest thing I can do.
I should have shot you.
But he walked steadily now, even as all them Anchor Ranch men tightened their noose around us. I could shoot a few in front of me, but them behind me would make quick work of me and my prisoner. My ma used to say I could talk my way out of a whipping, and that's what I'd have to do. Big Nose George was bossing this parade.
Stop right there, Sheriff.
You're not gonna interfere with the law.
Matter of fact, we are. You turn them loose and we'll turn you loose.
Admiral, good to see you, my friend. Our slightly retarded sheriff seems to think he can hold me on general principles.
He veered straight toward Bragg. I could hardly swing the shotgun around before there was a mess of barrels pointing my way. Bragg, he smiled and shook hands with Crayfish Rubel like they was a couple of old buddies. I'd lost my prisoner.
Sheriff, you'll want to sit down that shotgun real slow.
I sure hated to do it and thought maybe to check out by spraying the neighborhood with buckshot. But I saw how it was. So I settled that shotgun on the clay and stood up.
Sheriff. A little justice long overdue.
I was sort of getting the drift of this. A few citizens were collecting, braving the chance of some stray lead flying their way. I was sure feeling like a fool, disarmed and standing there. But I'd be even dumber trying to shoot my way out of that one.
I tried to warn you, Sheriff.
Bragg, he had an arm around the neck of his new friend, Rubel, smiling away like it was some party. And Rubel, he was enjoying the get-together. Bragg was steering Rubel into the courthouse square, and all the rest of them anchor riders were making sort of an escort for them, like a pathway straight toward that gallows. I followed along, though there were men with drawn revolvers right behind me, keeping me going toward that gallows. That noose looked real big there. A good, clean knot with the coils just right. I wondered who had tied it. Maybe the same Anchor Ranch feller who tied the noose for me when they were trying to scare me into springing the kid. I wondered where the boy and girl were. They sure weren't a part of this bunch. I wondered whether their old man had gotten real tough on them. We kept right on walking straight to the gallows. And then...
Hey, what? No!
Brad was manhandling Rubel around toward them steps up to the platform, and Rubel, he wasn't smiling anymore. But Rubel was no match for Brad. Rubel had spent years tomcatting while Brad was running his ranch, and now it showed. And then Big Nose George was up there with a cord, binding Crayfish Rubel's hands behind him real tight, wrapping that cord around his wrist so tight it made Rubel wince. And then they sort of pushed him onto the trap. The Crayfish wasn't smiling at all. He was just staring at the sky. Bragg, he lowered that noose over Rubel's head and tightened it a little and turned the knot to the left and made sure everyone saw he was doing it and no one else. This was Admiral Bragg's show from start to finish. It sure was quiet. I'd never heard it so quiet. There was a mess of people watching now. Every shopkeeper in town was out, and so were all the women and children. Admiral Bragg pulled the lever. The trap dropped. And so did Crayfish. And then Crayfish swung and twitched and turned real slow. And Bragg was smiling to beat the band. There was that feeling you get right after you see someone die like that. You're mostly thinking it could be you. And for a moment, I wondered if Bragg had me on his list, just as he threatened a few times. But no one was paying me any attention. I could have walked to my office and no one would have known it. You know, it was a funny thing. The law said this was wrong. Rubel hadn't been tried, he'd been lynched. And I sure would have trouble coming up with real good evidence. He had killed the Jonas boys and Rocco, but proving it was something else. There was a bunch of stuff needed looking into, including them graves out on his place. Still, I had something to do. I pushed through them people until I got to Admiral. Gotta take you in, Bragg.
Of course you do, but I might not go.
You come along now.
I tell you what, you come along with me to the courthouse.
He plunged through the gathering crowd like a horse with no bit, and I raced along, making sure I didn't lose him. He walked into Judge Nipper's chambers and stopped at the big desk there. He handed me a paper lying on the desk. It was in Nipper's hand, all right, but I sure couldn't make out all them curly letters. Bragg stared at me, annoyed.
It's Bell's confession. Nip has wrote it all down, how my boy was framed. And that's Bell's X for a signature.
That don't make it right, what you did. You got to come in and get yourself tried for that hanging.
Come get me, whenever you're ready.
I collected that confession before someone else took it off. Bragg knew he'd never spend a day in my jail. Them good folks in Doubtful would cut him loose, especially when they saw the confession Nippers had gotten out of Bell. I knew it, too. They'd figure everything was even and justice got done. At the moment, he held the cards, and the biggest one was the revolver hanging from his hip. I followed him out into the silent square, where Crayfish Rubel was twisting and turning in the June breeze. One thing more, Bragg. Where's King and Queen?
Locked in the hotel liquor closet. They've betrayed me. They'll never set foot on Anchor Ranch again.
Might be a good deal for them.
Cotton, you're a card.
I'd get over there in a moment and spring them and make sure they were both all right. They weren't the same two Braggs as they once were, and I was sort of sneaking proud of them, defying that holy terror of a father of theirs. Next I knew, all them Anchor Ranch riders were collecting their horses and riding out. I saw some T-bar men riding out, too. They'd have no payday there. I wondered who'd get the place and all them cattle out there. Them T-bar men would likely alter a few brands and take some beef with them. I thought that the whole ranch would vanish in about a week, and there'd be a few riding the Owl Hoot Trail. There was nothing permanent about that place. Crayfish hadn't built anything for the future. And the future ended on that gallows a little while before. I had some business to do out there. 4 graves to open up, 4 women to identify. I thought Lulu and Rosie would shed a few tears. There was plenty of folks standing around the square, gawking. Get on away from here. Go home. But no one did. My landlady, Belle, as wide as she was tall, come steaming up.
It's a good thing, that Crayfish. There's not a virtuous woman left in town, except me.
She looked like she wished she weren't.
I spotted Rusty wobbling along with Bertel and DeGraff. So all the lawmen were present at last. They paused in front of Crayfish, who was sort of smiling down at him.
Well, serves him right. You do the honors?
Nope. It was Bragg done it.
You arrest him?
I tried to.
Glad you didn't. That Bragg, he's a son of a bitch. But my kind of son of a bitch.
He's not my kind. Cotton Pickens, Book 3, Savage Guns, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2009, William W. Johnstone. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2012, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Ken Jackson, Mort Sheldy, Dylan Lynch, Daniel Sontag, Alyssa Wilmot, David Harris, Bradley Smith, David Coyne, Catherine Aselford, James Keegan, Gary Tells, Lily Beacon, Tim Carlin, Patrick Bussing, Michael John Casey, Tim Pabone, Christopher Graybill, Colleen Delaney, Richard Rowan, Johan Detweiler, Terence Aselford, James Konacek, Nanette Savard. Directed by Ken Jackson. Book adapted for graphic audio by Doug Krenzlin. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Allison Thomas. Original music by Johan Detweiler. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Cotton Pickens, be sure to look for the series Sidewinders, as well as The Last Gunfighter, available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our action-pumped titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com. Keep listening for previews of other graphic audio thrillers.
Don't think I give a damn that you're my father.
The thought never crossed my mind.
I don't know you, and I don't want to know you. All you ever gave me was a rep to live up to. I done it too. Maybe I haven't killed as many men as the famous Frank Morgan, but my day's coming, old man. My day's coming.
Can Frank Morgan gun down his own flesh and blood? Find out in The Last Gunfighter number 23, Montana Gundown. Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.